Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Acts chapter 28. Believe it or not, today we're going to actually be finishing our series through the book of Acts, right? Woo! We started this series at the end of January 2016, okay? Not last January, the January before. But it's interesting because when I go back and I actually looked at all of our messages, and it turns out that today is the 60th message through Acts. It's our 60th message through Acts. And so we ended up spending about 14 months in the book of Acts. You know, our other times we had guest speakers and we went through Christmas series and changed and did some things here and there at different times. But we spent 14 months in the book of Acts. Pretty cool, pretty crazy, right? And today I have to admit it's a little bittersweet for me, okay? It's exciting that we're finishing. We've been in this chapter or in this book for so long and it's exciting. All right, we're finishing the book of Acts. But it's also a little sad too, because I really do believe that Acts is my favorite book in the Bible. I really do. You know, maybe I like this, maybe I like that. But you know, as we've walked through Acts, and I've loved Acts for years, and wanted to do it as a church for years, go through it, and the Lord just kept saying, no, not yet, not yet. And then as He released me to do it, I really believe it's one of my favorite books of the Bible. I love the early church and how the power of the Holy Spirit enabled them to be the hope for the world. How what started with 120 people, you remember? That's where it was back in Acts, 120 people up in the upper room, and how it grew to what we have today. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to finish up our series by reading Acts 28. 11 through 31. Before we dive into the scripture, let me just kind of catch us up on where we're at, all right? So you know kind of where we're at. For the last couple of weeks, Paul has been on his way to Rome to appeal to Caesar. If you remember, he was the religious leaders were trying to have him killed, were trying to take care of him, and so he appealed to Caesar, and so he was heading to Rome, and they boarded a ship thinking it was going to just be a short trip over to Rome and they'll be good to go, but they got caught in a storm which threw them off course for several weeks, and then the ship ended up crashing on an island, crushing to pieces, and they ended up on the island of Malta. And you may remember last week some of the fun adventures on Malta, some of the amazing miracles that happened there. And so that's where they are now as we pick up, but they're finally gearing up to set sail again, to head to Rome, to finally arrive to this place where Paul had talked about going 6 years ago, okay? And so that's where we're going to pick up this morning, Acts 28, verses 11 through 31. This is what it says. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day the south wind came up, and on the following day we reached Puteoli. Then we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. Now that is a city, it's a place, okay? They weren't hanging out at the tavern drinking their beers there before they went and visited with Paul, okay? At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. Basically, house arrest here, okay? Verse 17, 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crimes deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain. They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect," and they're referring to the Way, which were the Christians of that time. Verse 23, "They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." Now here we come to the end of Acts as we read this last chapter, and it's an interesting ending to the book. It finishes with Paul still on house arrest, not the way we might think that this chapter would end. It kind of leaves us hanging. At least it seems, you know, was Paul set free? Was Paul convicted? What's going to happen to Paul here in Rome? And over the years, Christians and scholars have questioned why Luke ends the story the way that he did. Now there are some that believe that Luke, who is the author, that he wrote Acts actually as a defense for Paul to be used at his trial before Caesar. And so that's why it ends here. It's got all the information leading up to his trial. Then there are others believe that Luke maybe had planned on picking up the story later on. You know how he did Luke, and then he did Acts, and then there was going to be something else, maybe, but he never continued the story. No one really knows the reason why Acts ends the way it does, except for the Lord, I guess. And maybe it's that we are to continue the story. There's a lot of churches out there that are Acts 29 churches. That's what they call themselves, to kind of continue Acts. And so maybe we're supposed to continue the story, that the Acts of the church are still being played out today in churches all over the world. And if so, the question I guess we have to ask ourselves is how are we doing? How are we doing when it comes to following these examples that Peter and Paul and the other apostles demonstrated for us here in Acts? How do we continue to be the church that Jesus started some 2,000 years ago? Though this chapter ends maybe somewhat abruptly, Luke does end with some themes that we've seen again and again through the book of Acts, kind of bringing these themes in once again. And this morning, I want to just take some time to look at these themes that Luke brings in. And as we look at these closing chapters, I think there are four things that Luke references here. Four things that we've seen time and time again when it comes to the early church. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. The first is this. The early church followed God's will. They were guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. They followed the will of God. Throughout the book of Acts, we've seen God's hand at work, right? How He faithfully guided the early church through all the ups and downs and the challenges that they faced along the way. Because we know when they first, you know, started following Jesus, they weren't expecting things to happen the way they happened, right? But God directed them, and He grew it from 120 people in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost to thousands and thousands of believers all over the world at this point now. As Paul sits here in Rome, the church has grown tremendously. And it's because that they were faithful to follow the will of God. It's because they continually sought the Holy Spirit. Because who else could have done things the way things were done, right? This is not the way we would have chosen. It was totally God. I mean, think back through the book of Acts for a minute. Now, I know that might be hard because it's been a long time, right, since we've been at the early parts of Acts. And if you're like me, your memory, you know, doesn't go back very far. We've been in this series for quite some time. But if you remember back at all, God uses persecution. In the very beginning, He uses persecution as a catalyst to extend the church to the ends of the earth. The persecution causes them to flee and extends the church to the ends of the earth. We know that He led Paul, a zealous Jew and murderer of Christians, to become a missionary to the Gentile. Only God could do stuff like this. And after Paul was arrested in Jerusalem, of all people, God used the Romans to protect him from these Jewish leaders who were trying to take his life, who were trying to kill him. And then last week, we saw God use this horrible storm that they were in that sent them all over the place. He used this storm to evangelize and bring healing to people on the island of Malta. You know, these are just a few of the examples. But Paul and the other apostles were affected as the early church because they followed God. They let God lead and take them where He wanted them to go. They sought His will over their own. And because of that, God was able to use them to accomplish things that they would have never accomplished on their own. They would have never accomplished in their way. And so the question we have to ask ourselves is, how are we doing in this area? Are we following God's will? Or are we following our own will? And the thing we have to realize, and that all of us need to realize in this process, is that living out God's will isn't easy. Right? You're like, amen, amen. Right? Living out God's will isn't easy. Ask Paul if this journey that he went on was easy. All the ups and downs and the challenges and the persecution and the threats of life and all these things that he went through. It's never easy when we're following God's will. Ron Mell, an amazing pastor, an author, he pastored Beaverton Four Square Church, where we're actually going for our conference this week. He impacted my life tremendously just through his speakings and things. You know, he wouldn't know me from Adam, but listened and read his books and different things that he shared. He would say this at times. He said, "If what you're doing isn't bigger than you, then you're probably outside the will of God." And that's a pretty bold statement. If what you're doing isn't bigger than you, then you are probably outside the will of God. And that's because God isn't going to ask us to do things that we can do on our own. Right? Because then we don't need God. If we can do it on our own, we don't need Him. He's going to call us to things that are bigger than us so that we can lean on Him. Sound familiar, men, as we walked through our series in faith this week of leaning on the Lord? So that we can lean on Him, so that He can be our strength. God wants to do great things in and through our lives. He wants to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. But that's only going to happen if we're following His will, if we're seeking Him. The early church followed God's will, and it's because of that that it grew and became what it is today. We are here today because of them faithfully following His will. And my heart and desire is that we are people who follow His will. And if we follow His will, we'll get to see what He wants to do through each of us. Amen? The second thing that we see in these scriptures, again, is this. The early church was about community. The early church was about community. Christianity, it's a faith community. We were created for relationship with others. And life in Christ was always meant to be lived out with other people. God didn't create us so that we could go live alone in a shack out in the middle of nowhere. Even though that sounds like a fun thing to me, okay? That's not what God created us for. And when the church first started back in Acts 2, listen to what it says about the early church. It's Acts 2 verses 42 through 46 if you want to turn there. I didn't, because of my crazy week this week, I didn't get some of these verses up on the screen. But Acts 2, 42 through 46 says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. That's another word for community. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. That was community. That's community. People coming together to encourage and to support each other. And this is so important. And it's important that we understand this because I believe it's one of the ways that God strengthens His church. It's through community. It's through fellowship. As we studied Acts over the last year and a half, we've seen that no one ever did anything by themselves. God didn't send people out by themselves. Every time Paul went on a missionary journey, what was he doing? He was bringing someone along with him, whether it was Barnabas or Silas or Timothy or whoever. He was always taking someone with him. And after he started the churches, as he went around and they started churches in various towns, he would go back and he would visit with them and fellowship with them and connect with them. Paul, we see here in Acts, he took every opportunity he could to meet with people, to stay with people, to eat with people, to have community with people, with other believers. And here's the thing, this kind of community, it was mutually and spiritually strengthening. It was that iron that sharpens iron that we talk about out of Proverbs 27. And this is exactly what happens here at the end of Acts. Look at this beautiful picture of community that we see in verses 14 and 15. It says, there we found some brothers and sisters who invited us to spend a week with them. And so we came to Rome. The brothers and sisters there had heard that we were coming. They traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the three taverns to meet us. And if I was a good pastor, I would have looked at how far that was that they traveled. But obviously these people, they came from a far distance to be with them. And at the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. Notice how Paul responds here. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. There's something about community. There's something about people coming to our aid to help us, to support us, to encourage us. None of us like to go through things alone. I mean, I know there's some of us that are introverts and we think we do, but there's this aspect of connection with people that we enjoy when people care about us and they come around us and they surround us. What we see here in these scriptures, that was community. It's what community was all about. Being spiritually, emotionally, and physically strengthening to other believers. You know, we live in a day and age where you can stay home and be in your pajamas and experience church online, right? I mean, we live in a day and age where it's really easy to do that. We don't have to go to church to hear the Word. To be spiritually fed. There are enough podcasts, there are enough live streams out there that we can listen to get fed, to get the Word, to get some of those things that we need. But the thing is if we just listen to messages online, and we don't actually engage with a church, or come to a church, or to a Bible study, or something of that nature where community happens, then we're missing a very important part of what church is about. We're missing the community that God created. Community provides encouragement. Community provides support for one another, for the body of Christ. When we have true community in church, when one celebrates, we all celebrate. When one mourns, we all mourn. When one is in need, we rally around each other to help meet that need. That's community. That's what community is about. It's being willing to be real with one another. Kirk talked about that at the start of worship. You know, are we willing to be real with one another? Getting to know each other beyond this surface level, beyond this, oh, I'm okay, I'm good, right? To get to the core of finding out, where are we at? What are we going through? How can I support you? How can I encourage you? Community was a vital part of the early church. And I believe it needs to be a vital part of our church today because of the blessing that comes from it. Let me just give you two examples this week. Many of us have been asking me, where's Larry? Larry hasn't been here the last couple weeks. Sorry, Larry, I forgot to ask if I could do this. but he's just been going through some health issues and things. But Larry has pulled me into a part of this Bible study group that has breakfast together once a week. They come together. It's fellowship. It's community. And these guys said, hey, we're going to go. Larry can't come to breakfast. We're going to go to his house. And so we all went and we met at his house and we hung out and we supported him in that process. And I can tell you the smile on his face, we all love Larry's smile when we walk into this place, but to see the smile on his face when we came walking into his house, bringing donuts and coffee, you know, but just coming to be with one another and to fellowship. That's community. And then another one was someone that had some needs, and to see body of Christ come together and to help meet those needs. That's community. That's what it's about, and to see that. And that's what God desires from us. We saw that in the early church, but God desires it from us. The early church, they followed God's will. The early church was about community. And then the third thing we see in these scriptures is that the early church shared the gospel. They shared the gospel with others. If you've been with us at all through the book of Acts, you know that Acts, it's all about sharing the gospel. It's about telling the good news to others, taking it to the end of the earth, the ends of the earth. And it goes back to the very beginning of Acts, if you can remember that far. Acts 1:8, right before Jesus ascends into heaven, He tells His disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That phrase, "you will be My witnesses," is God's command to us to share the good news, to share of what we've seen and heard, what we've witnessed in our own lives of who Jesus is and what He's done for us. Because after the disciples were in that upper room, after they received the power of the Holy Spirit, after the force awakens, right? Some of you may have forgotten why this series was titled The Force Awakens, because it's where they received the Holy Spirit. They received this power. It awakened in them, right? And so after they received this power, what do? They immediately go out and begin to share the gospel. Peter stands up and he preaches the gospel in front of all these people, the same people that persecuted Jesus, the same people that put Him on the cross. He stands up with boldness and power and authority, and he shares the gospel. And so they began from the beginning, first to the Jews in Jerusalem, and then as they scattered to the Gentiles and to the ends of the earth. And it's because of the early church that the gospel spread all over the place. And Paul was one of the keys. He was one of the key apostles who took the gospel to the ends of the earth, being one of the first missionaries. Everywhere he went, he was faithful to share the truth of Jesus Christ and how Jesus had changed his life. And even though Paul is now in Rome, and even though he's on house arrest, he continues to share the gospel with whoever would listen, who would come to visit him. In verse 23, it says, "They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day, and they came in even larger numbers to a place where he was staying." And it says, "He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God, and from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus." Now it tells us some of them were convinced. Some of them were convinced, and the church grew. You see, Paul and the early church, they knew what they were called to do. They were called to share the gospel, to let others know about Jesus. And the same is true for us today. We're called to share the truth of what we know about Jesus. The question is, are we doing it? Are we being His witnesses? Are we sharing Jesus with others? Because if we want to follow the example of the early church, then that's what we need to be willing to do. If we want to see the people whose names are written on that back banner back there, if we want to see them come to know Jesus, then we have to be willing to share the truth of who He is with them. And I think one of the greatest ways that we can witness to others is our lives. It's by the way we live. If you've been around here for very long, you've heard me say, preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. And maybe really should say when necessary, right? Because there will come a point where words will be necessary. But if we're living our lives like Christ has commanded us to, if we're loving people, if we're extending grace to people, if we're caring for people the way Jesus cared for people, it will open the door for those opportunities, for the opportunities to share what Jesus has done in our life. and why we have chosen to live the way that we do. And here's the thing. We don't have to be pastors to share the gospel. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to know everything in the Bible. Because a lot of times, like, oh, hey, pastor, can you share Jesus with these people? God's called all of us to do that. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to have all the answers. Basically, we just have to know Jesus ourselves, right? And be willing to share with others what He's done in our life. It's like our testimonies that we shared this morning. Just being willing to say, man, you know what God did for me? I was a sinner. You should have seen my life, and God saved me. And He brought me to a place of redemption. It's sharing what God has done for us. A great example of this is found in John chapter 4. I love this section of Scripture. Many of us know this Scripture. It's the Scripture about the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. This Samaritan woman, her life is messed up. She needs Jesus. And Jesus meets her where she's at and loves on her, and her life is changed because of it. And so what does she do? She goes back to her community and she tells others about Jesus. I want to share with you what happened here in John 4, verses 39 through 42. It says this, "Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in Him because of the woman's testimony." Do you hear that? Because of her testimony, they believed in Him. The power of our testimony. She simply said, "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to Him, they urged Him to stay with them. And He stayed 2 days. And because of His words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Sharing the gospel is simply sharing with others what Jesus has done in your life. And then as they're drawn to that, as they get excited, wow, God did that for you, as they begin to seek Him, then they discover who Jesus is for themselves. They're not living on your salvation. It's what Christ has done in and through them. So the early church continued to do. And so my encouragement to us is, let's be like the early church. Let's live the lives that God's called us to live and share the good news with others in the way Christ has called us to let our light shine. Amen? The early church followed God's will. The early church was about community. The early church shared the gospel with others. And the final thing we see in these scriptures is the early church remained faithful. They were faithful. Again, if you've been with us since we started this series, you know that things were not easy for the early church. The two main apostles that Acts focuses on, Acts, you know, there's a lot of great men in Acts and women in Acts that it talks about, but the two main people it focuses on is Peter and Paul. And Peter and Paul, they went through all kinds of difficulties. You know, they had a lot of things in common. They were both kicked out of towns. They were both thrown in jail. They both suffered death threats. But through all these things, through all that they went through, they remained faithful to the Lord. In these scriptures this morning, Paul finally arrives in Rome, only to find himself sitting on house arrest for 2 years. He sat there, just waiting. You know, it's kind of a lot like our court systems here today, right? You know, just waiting. He sat there waiting. But listen to how Luke concludes the book of Acts. It says in verse 31, the final verse, It says he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Many people would have given up. A lot of people do. I've been praying and praying, and God keeps saying he's going to do something. He keeps saying he's going to use me, and it's just not happening. Many people would have given up. But Paul was faithful till the end. He was faithful continually till the end. He continues to use every opportunity, regardless of where he's at, regardless of his circumstances, to welcome anyone who would come and see him and to share the gospel with him, to continue to faithfully serve God. This picture of Paul and his faithfulness, it's an important picture for us to see. Because despite opposition, despite hardships and failures, despite persecution and pain, Paul persevered. He persevered to the end. You see, the fact is, living our life for Jesus in the midst of a fallen, broken world, it's hard. And even I'll admit that there have been times in my life where I felt like giving up. There's been times in my life where I'm like, Lord, really, can I just do something else? I'd like to just get off work at 5 o'clock and go home and do nothing. Can I please? Right? I mean, life would be so much easier if I could just sleep in on Sundays. If I could get up when I felt like it, grab my cup of coffee, and watch some football. Oh yeah, right? Life would be a lot easier if I didn't always have to work at doing the right thing. At choosing, making the right decision, right? If I could just give in to temptations and not worry about the consequences. If I didn't care about people. Why do I got to care about people? God, why did you give me a heart that cares about people? If I didn't care about people and what they were going through, life would be much easier. It's hard being Christians in a fallen, broken world. And I'm guessing all of us have felt like giving up at times, and maybe sometimes we have. I'm guessing even Paul had some of those thoughts at times in his life. Seriously, God? Again? Haven't I been through this before? I'm sure he had some of those thoughts. But the key is, he didn't. He didn't give up. He pressed on, and he was faithful to the end. He knew that there was a joy in the journey, in the midst of the difficulties, that he could find joy through Jesus. And he knew that there was a crown of righteousness waiting for him at the finish line. And the same is true for each of us. Which is why I want to encourage us today to stay strong. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep fighting the good fight, just like Paul encouraged Timothy to do. You know, I read some things and I don't know for sure, but many people believe some of those last words of Paul were written as they were coming down into the dungeon to take his life. I fought the good fight. I was faithful till the end. And telling Timothy to fight the good fight, to keep pressing on, to keep moving forward. It won't be easy. As a matter of fact, it might be one of the hardest things we ever do. But if we can remain faithful, I know this. We won't regret it, especially when we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. The early church, they followed God's will. The early church, they were about community. The early church shared the gospel with others, and the early church remained faithful till the end. And my encouragement to us this morning is let's do our best to be like the early church, to live these things out in our life. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the book of Acts, Lord. The last 21 months as we've been in and out of it and walking through it, Lord, and 60 weeks of this book of the Bible, and how you have been pouring into us, Lord, encouraging us, challenging us, Lord. It's an amazing book as we look at the early church and as we look at what you did in and through the early church, Lord, through the midst of the ups and downs and the circumstances and challenges that they faced, Lord, that you were faithful to them, Lord. But then in the end, they were faithful to continue to serve you. And Lord, we want to be like the early church, Lord. We don't want to drop the torch now. We want to be faithful to keep moving forward, to keep running the race, to keep fighting the fight, to do the things that you've called us to do. And Lord, we know it's hard. We live in a fallen, broken world where there is temptations and challenges and things all around us. But we thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you that we don't have to be perfect, that Lord, when we fall down, we get back up again. And that, Lord, you dust us off and you make us clean through your righteousness, through what you did for us on the cross, Lord. That's what it's about. The good news of Jesus Christ that the Church of Acts shared was about the God of this universe who came and died on the cross for our sins so that we could have life beyond this world, Lord. And so we thank you and we praise you for your hand upon us. We thank you for the book of Acts, the things that you've been teaching us. May, Lord, they not just be words that we've heard, but may they be things that we begin to apply to our life, that we begin to live out our lives in the way that you have called us to live, Lord, to faithfully let our light shine, to follow your will, Lord, to be faithful to do all that you've called us to do. We thank you for these things. We thank you for your encouragement, your strength, your grace, your love that you pour out upon us in the midst of it, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.